presence here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as I bring the message, that You would speak to us. That it wouldn't be my words, but it would be You speaking through me to each and every person in this room. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Judges chapter 16. And I've got a lot today. I'm going to try to not feel rushed to cover it all. And if we don't get through it all, we don't get through it all. But I don't want to hurry so much that I miss anything. I had a lot of problems titling my message today. And I didn't used to title my messages. But since they're put online now, I try to title them. And the best title I guess I could think of for this message is, Are You Blind or Can You See? And when I'm kind of spoiled to my FedEx truck. It has mirrors all over the place. And so I have mirrors on the front of my hood. I've got two mirrors here, and I can see next to my truck really well. And then my little Civic that I drive back and forth to work every day, it's so small that if anybody's next to me, I can usually see them, no problem. Crystal's car, it beeps if someone's in your blind spot and someone's next to you, so you don't really have any concern. Well, Thursday I was in my pickup truck, which I hardly ever drive anymore, and I had to go pick up some stuff in Van Buren. And as I was merging on the interstate, I don't know how many of you merged from Industrial Park onto the interstate. It's a real big loop, and you can see pretty well, you know. And I'm looking, and I don't see any cars, and I'm this old truck, you know, it's just turned 20, my truck did, and I'm hammering down trying to get it going, you know. And I go to merge, and I don't check my blind spot. Because I just looked, and like I said, I'm used to being able to always know somebody's there without going like this. And just then, a car caught my eye, and I almost ran right into him. I was like, where did that car even come from? I guess that's why it's called a blind spot. I was like, where did that car even come from? I didn't even see it, and thank you, Lord, that I didn't hit it. And I think that sometimes in our lives, we have blind spots, and we don't even see what's really going on. And so that's kind of the intro to where we're at. Judges chapter 16, verse 6, it says, So Delilah said to Samson, Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Samson answered her, If anyone ties me with seven fresh thongs and have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her seven fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him up with them. When, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to the flame, so the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied. You know, in our thought process, here she's pressing him, how can you become weak? And he doesn't get it. Okay? And as I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about sin in my life sometimes, and how I allow things in my life, and I just don't get it. I just don't get how destroying and destructive it can be. And so, it's easy for us to look at Samson and go, man, you're an idiot. But how many times are we doing things that we shouldn't do, and other people might be looking at our lives going, man, you're an idiot. Why are you doing that? Why are you allowing that into your life? Why are you... And so, here, verse 11, he said, If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, Until now you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied. He replied, you were to weave 7 braids of my hair and into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pins, I'll be as weak as any other man. So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his hair, wove them into the fabric and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pins and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? Okay, it's obvious to all of us. She's trying to get him. And if he's blinded by his lust, it's like sometimes, have you guys ever been so entangled in a sin or that you lose your common sense? And I think sometimes that's what Satan does, is he blinds us to even common sense. See, just even common sense here would say, Samson, Delilah's out to destroy you. Delilah's out to get you. And the common sense has even left him. So, this is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. She was a nag. She kept on. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hand. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That is one of the saddest verses in the Bible to me. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He thought, I'll get up and go out as before. I'll go out as I've been doing. In church, can I tell you something? When we continue to do wrong, when we continue to go down the wrong path, and we continue in sin, we don't realize the moment that everything in our life could change. The moment that we take it one step too far, and everything can change. And here he was facing that moment. He did not know that the Lord had left him. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. I lost my spot here. Verse 19. Since what may be made known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuses. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. When I read this story, I think of how his heart must have been darkened and how he was deceived to think that he could just continue in the life that he had, knowing, well, as we see it, knowing that Delilah was out to get him, but he doesn't ever change. And I'm just thinking for my life and for your life this morning, how many of us are doing things that we know we really shouldn't be doing? It might not even be necessarily sin, but it's kind of in a gray area, and we just think, well, God will forgive me. It's all good, and I'm just going to continue on in what I'm doing. We don't know the moment that our hearts might become darkened. Here it says, they knew God. They knew God. You can look around and see what all God's created. But it said they neither glorified Him nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. As I read this and I think about my heart and I think about my life and I think about, am I blind to things that's going on around me? Has Satan blinded my eyes that I may not see? And I may be just going out just as I always have, just as Samson had always had. He kept breaking the whatever he was tied up with. He kept going and he thought, I'll just go out as before, but no. He took it too far, and the Spirit of the Lord had left him. As I was thinking about this, and I thought of how the Spirit of God had left him, and how scary that verse is, and I thought of so many different examples of sin blinding people. Now, for Samson, I don't know for sure, but I would think it was probably a sin of lust. For Delilah, that she had so blinded him with her beauty and her charms and everything that he gave into that. And as I was thinking about this, and I thought of all the people throughout the Bible that have been blinded to their own actions and their own life. And one of the best examples of that is David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we all know that story and chapter 11, it talks about David and Bathsheba and how he falls into sin and then sends Uriah, her husband, to the front lines to be killed. But in chapter 12, when Nathan rebukes him, it says, "The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, 'There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food and drank from his cup and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb belonging to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against that man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.'" And can I tell you something? It's easy for us to look at other people's sin and the things that they're doing and burn with anger. How could they do that? How could they be so mean? How could they be so cruel? How could they do this? How could they do that? And it's so easy for us to see what everybody else is doing. But then in verse 7, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. That is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says.'" Boy, what a wake-up call. You're that guy. You're that guy that did that. And I wonder, just like Samson had not even known that the Lord had left him, that the Spirit of the Lord had left him, here David was blind to his own actions. He's angry. How could this man have done this in this story? And then all at once, "You're the one. You're the one. I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you from the hands of Saul. I gave you your master's house. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have even given you more. Why did you despise the words of the Lord by doing what is evil in His eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own.'" Sometimes in our life, we can get so blinded by sin, by lust, by greed, by jealousy, that we don't even see how far we've fallen, all the evil that we're doing. Because that's what Satan loves to do. He loves to tempt us. He loves to blind us and get us on track, get us down the wrong track. And we can still see the sin in everybody else's eyes, but we're blind to ourselves. We're blind to our own actions. We're blind to what we're doing. Saul in Acts chapter 9. "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul thought he was doing right. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He thought he was doing God's work by going and trying to squash this thing of about Jesus. And he thought he was doing God's work. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground. When he opened his eyes, he couldn't see nothing. So they led him by the hands into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. When I think about this and I think about Saul, and I think he thought he could see, he thought he was doing right, and it took him being blind to open up his eyes. It took him being blinded to open up his eyes. It took the Lord jolting him, so to speak. And jump down to verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered in, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. I thought of the verse when the blind man was healed in John 9:25, and he replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Church, what I want to ask you this morning is, can you really see? I mean, I look around sometimes and I see what people are doing and I see what people are living in and I see how people are living, and it's under the umbrella of being a Christian. And I just wonder how many of them are a Samson this morning, and the Spirit of the Lord has left them and they don't even know. How many of them are a David this morning where they're doing evil, and the evil has so blinded them that they have a righteous anger towards others' sin, but they don't even see themselves? How many of us maybe this morning we're a Saul, and when we think we're marching on and we think we're doing righteous acts, but we're really not doing it with the Spirit of God leading and guiding us, and we really don't know the Lord like we think we do? I have one last story here, and it's a prodigal son, but I preached this, and you guys have probably forgot, because we forget things. I preached this not too many weeks ago in Luke 15, and verse 17. It says, when the prodigal son, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." And that's what I really preached on last time, was he came to his senses. And so he comes to his senses and he's heading back home. But then I want to concentrate more on the brother this time. Verse 25. Luke 15:25, it says, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so that his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You've never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. I heard a message on this, and it was such a good message. It was Ravi Zachariah talking about it. And but the brother, who was more lost? The brother that was the prodigal, or the brother that had stayed home and done what his father had said? Well, the brother that was the prodigal, it said he came to his senses. And if you read the story, he talks about he's going to ask his father for forgiveness and say, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. And what's the father do? He embraces him and throws a garment on him and everything else. And my son's home. But the brother who never left, what's his reaction? It's jealousy? It's envy? It's anger? So how lost is the brother that never left? Because he has no compassion. He has no love. He has no care. He's angry that the brother's getting a celebration after he's done all these things wrong. Instead of being joyful and glad, and my brother that was lost is found, just like the father. The brother that... It says that he had done everything that his father had always told him, had become so legalistic that he was lost. He did not have a heart in the right place. In church this morning, I wonder how many of us, our hearts are in the right place, our lives are in the right place. How many of us are blind to maybe our actions? Maybe you're not like David and out having an affair. Maybe you're not like Samson and so full of lust that you're blinded, but maybe you're like this brother of the prodigal. And you're living in such self-righteousness that you no longer have a heart for God. You're just keeping the rules. You no longer have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And see, the thing is that in every one of these stories that I've read you, they're all so different, but yet Satan's at the heart of each and every one of them, of deception, of leading them astray. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? Are you guys getting it? Because it's not just the David in the lust and the affair and then having the husband killed, but it's even the prodigal brother that's doing everything right, but his heart's not right. And both of them can be just as lost. Whether you're sitting in here Sunday morning or whether you're at home recovering from a hangover, you can be just as lost in both places. Have your eyes been open to your shortcomings, to your failures, to your faults? And have you cried out to Jesus and asked Him to forgive you? Proverbs 16:25, I quote this verse often. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. And where I want to get this morning is let's stop living by feelings and begin to live by truth. Okay? The brother here, he probably had a feeling that he was doing everything right, but his heart wasn't right. Okay? Samson had the feelings of, you know, it says that she caressed him and put him to sleep and had his head shaved. That's probably a really good feeling of someone, you know, caressing you to sleep to the point that you're just in so much, in such a deep sleep that they can come and shave your head. That's a good feeling. But there's so many people that's just living by feelings, and your feelings can fool you. And your feelings can give you a false sense of security. Satan can deceive even your feelings. But what we have to do is we have to line our lives up to the Word of God. Does my life reflect what this Word says? Not the way that I feel, not tingly goosebumps, not excitement, not happiness, not joy, not depression, not sadness, not despair, because either way you can be grabbed. But do I believe what this Word says about me? Do I line my life up to match what this Word says I should be? In these stories, in every one of them that I read, except for we don't know about the brother. And if there's something more, I've not ever seen it. Maybe there is, but in every one of the other stories, there was redemption that came. David repents. Samson, do you remember? He's being made fun of and mocked, and his hair begins to grow back, and they tie him up between two pillars, and he cries out to God. I didn't read that far, so this is going off of a way back memory, but he cries out to God, and God restores his strength. And remember, he pushes down the columns, and everybody in there dies along with him. But there's a story of redemption. But where did the redemption come from? It's when their eyes were open and they seen how lost they were, and they repented. And they cried out to God, "Forgive me." Today, do we live by faith and not by sight? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, let's quit looking at our circumstances. Let's quit living off of our feelings. And let's really lay our lives before Jesus Christ this morning. If y'all would stand. Let's lay our lives before Jesus this morning. And I would ask you to truly ask the Lord to reveal to you if there's a hidden sin, if there's a hidden a jealousy of anger, if there's something in you that ought not to be there, if you're blatantly living in sin this morning, don't just keep going. That's the saddest, if not the saddest, it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible when Samson says, "I'll get up as I've gone out before." But no, the Spirit of God had left him. And y'all, I don't know where you're at this morning, but I want to warn you that if you're blatantly living in sin, don't continue, because you don't know that moment. In Romans, where I was reading, if you read on, I encourage you maybe to go home and read on in chapter 1 what happens to these people that know the truth, but they don't live it. And their hearts are darkened, and eventually God turns them over. And so this morning, I beg you, to open up your hearts and open up your minds and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and just do an examination. And see if there's any blind spots that you're missing, if there's an area that Satan has come in and got a hold of your life. And don't wait. Redemption can be your story, just as it was with Samson, just as it was with David, just as it was with Saul that becomes Paul. God can restore you to something great and something marvelous and something more wonderful than you ever thought possible. But He can't do it if you're going to refuse Him certain areas of your life, if you're going to remain blinded to sin that you're blatantly living in, or even sin that's hidden. Father, we come before You now, and we lay our lives before You. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there's any blind spots in my life, if there's any blind spots in any one of our lives, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would begin to reveal to us right now what those areas are, and that we would cry out, that we would ask for forgiveness, that we would repent, that we would turn from it. And Lord Jesus, that You would give us the strength and the boldness and the courage to turn away from that. To turn away from that lifestyle, whatever it is that's hindering us. That You would lead, guide, and direct us. And that we would no longer live by feelings, but we would walk by faith. And trust in Your Word. Open up our eyes. Open up our eyes this morning in Jesus' mighty name. you need prayer for anything this morning, I encourage you to come to these altars and don't miss this opportunity to get your life right with Jesus. David needed someone to come and point it out. Saul had the Lord come and point it out. And as I was just sitting there praying, and I just thought, you know, sometimes we need stuff pointed out in our lives. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies his kisses. What does that mean? It means that if someone loves you and cares about you, sometimes they're going to tell you stuff that you don't want to hear. Sometimes they're going to tell you things that might even hurt. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. But if you know that person and you know they love you and they know and you know that they care about you, I want you to understand how hard it might be for them to point something out to you that you may be doing wrong. And you really need to take heed and warning to that. You know, sometimes my wife has pointed things out to me and I didn't like it very much. And I've even been angry and stomped out. But after I allowed that anger to reside and go back to where it needs to be, and then I think, you know what? My wife loves me. She's not going to tell me stuff to just hurt my feelings or make me mad. It's because she wants the best for me. Y'all, sometimes people can see things in us that we can't see ourselves. So maybe this morning you need a wake-up call from even a friend. And then in saying all that, we better be careful too. The Bible says, the splinter in your neighbor's eye while you got a plank in your own eye. Make sure you're doing it if you're going to point something out with love in your heart and the understanding of you wanting them restored to a right relationship, not that you're trying to prove to them that you're right or you know best, or to be self-righteous. I want to see you all someday when I get to heaven. I hope we're all there and we can celebrate together and rejoice together. And this morning we was talking to Amanda in Sunday school about her Hawaii trip, and I seen some of the pictures and I thought how beautiful it is. And you know, someday when we get to heaven, maybe I'll get to see something even more beautiful than what Hawaii is. And I hope you all are there with me. But sometimes in our life, we need to take an honest look at ourselves and lay our life bare before the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and say, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Give me strength. Elders meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. Remember, they're open. You're welcome to come. And Bible study 6:30. Have a blessed afternoon.